Are you seeking fulfillment for your life? Do you want freedom from fear? That's why we're here. Welcome to Jesus 101, introducing you to the real Jesus. And now, here's your host, Elizabeth Talbot, with Mike Tucker.
I'm Mike Tucker.
And I'm Elizabeth Talbot.
So the article that I saw about a man who was set free from prison that made everyone happy was a man who had been accused of rape nearly 20 years earlier, was convicted for that crime, and had been spending time in prison in Texas. Mm. And then DNA testing proved the man to be innocent. And even the woman who had been raped said, "I'm so glad that his innocence has been proven. At least, you know, an innocent man is not still in prison."
I can't imagine spending 20 years of my life in prison.
No.
When I wasn't, you know, the one that committed the crime.
And when they interviewed the man, you might think that he would be bitter over all of this. Mm-hmm. And although certainly he had reason to be bitter, he chose not to be. He said, "All I know is that one day I was captive, today I'm free, and now I've got the rest of my life to plan."
Wow, what a great attitude. You know, the Gospel of Luke talks a lot about captives being set free. And we already discussed with you Luke chapter 4 when Jesus opens up his ministry by saying that he came to set the captives free. But there are many other stories in Luke that he tells in a different way than the other Gospels do. One of those stories is the Transfiguration account in chapter 9 of the Gospel of Luke, starting on verse 28. And he tells the story with a little additional information that we don't have in Matthew and Mark.
Well, let's start reading. This is in verse 28 of Matthew 9. "Some 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face became different, and his clothing became white and gleaming. And behold, two men were talking with him, and they were Moses and Elijah, who, appearing in glory, were speaking of his departure when he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem."
The Gospel of Luke is the only one that tells us what Moses, Elijah, and Jesus were speaking about. Mm-hmm. And first of all, when we talk about Moses and Elijah, don't forget that Luke has this formula for the Old Testament, the law and the prophets. So mm-hmm. every time you see Moses and Elijah together, you need to think about this. Yeah. This is the law and the prophets.
Yeah, Moses is the law, Elijah the prophets.
And verse 31 has a very interesting word in the original. Not only are we told that they are speaking of the departure of Jesus that is about to be accomplished at Jerusalem, but the original word in the Greek for his departure is the word Exodus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Exodus is a big word for Israel. I mean, this is not simply, okay, you're going to die in Jerusalem and you're going to accomplish your death. It's much bigger than that.
It is much bigger because this takes them back to the time of slavery, being delivered from slavery, moving to freedom. And that's what basically Jesus was accomplishing for us in Jerusalem. He was going there to die to effect our release from the slavery of sin to the freedom of life in him.
You know, the word Exodus is actually made of two words in the Greek, ex and hodos. You know, ex, of course, is out of. That's mm-hmm. why we say ex-husband or ex-job or mm-hmm. ex. And then hodos, which means way. And ex-hodos, that comes mm-hmm. to be Exodus, is on the way out. Now, it's very interesting now to read this story in the light of the fact that Moses, who led the ex-hodos, mm-hmm. Exodus of the people of Israel, now is encouraging Jesus to complete the real Exodus
right.
that is about to be accomplished in Jerusalem.
And when indeed this Exodus was accomplished, when they walked through the Red Sea, there was great rejoicing for the children of Israel. They were rejoicing because getting through that Red Sea, leaving Pharaoh's army behind, symbolized to them the fact that we are moving forward with a brand new chapter in our lives. We're moving out of slavery into freedom. And so on the other side of the Red Sea, they sang a song.
Yes, because the Exodus of Moses is actually a part of the history of Israel, obviously, but it was teaching a lot about the actual redemption of the human race, and that's why the use of this word is so important. So in this song that Mike is talking about, the song that is called the Song of Moses in Exodus 15, we have many times the people rejoicing for the redemption that they have received.
In fact, verse 13 of that chapter says, In your loving kindness, you have led the people whom you have redeemed. In your strength, you have guided them to your holy habitation.
Yeah, many times during this Song of Moses, we have these great statements of the redemption that God has done on their behalf and how exuberantly happy they are because they have now been set free. And again, this is the Song of Moses that all the people of Israel sing.
So on the Mount of Transfiguration, when the disciples are watching this, they're seeing Jesus praying, and they see Moses and Elijah come. They are obviously greatly impressed by this. Peter, of course, is the one who would usually speak first. This is the guy who's going to open his mouth and make something come out, whether it's wise or not, because his first response is to speak. I'm sure that he was a true extrovert, and he was one of those who, like me, has a tendency at times to enter a room mouth first.
I was going to tell you, that sounds so much like you.
It does, and I know
you were going to tell me that sounds so much like me, right?
It does. In fact, verse 32 says, "Now Peter and his companions had been overcome with sleep, but when they were fully awake," which I think this would wake you up, "they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. And as these were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, 'Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah,' not realizing what he was saying."
What a significant statement that we have here from Luke. You know, imagine you have Moses, the law, Elijah the prophet, and Jesus Christ, all three of them, and they're leaving, Moses and Elijah leaving, and Peter says, "Look, let me make here three shrines, three tabernacles." This is the same word as is used in the Septuagint, in the Greek translation of the Old Testament, for the tabernacle, the tent of meeting.
Yeah, where God dwelled with his people. His Shekinah glory was there. That's where he was seen at all times. So he was going to dwell with us. And so he said, "Let these guys dwell with us for a while."
Yes, let's make all of this. This is like the perfect picture, says Peter. I'm going to make three shrines, three places where God can show up. The law, the prophets, and Jesus. Wouldn't that be like the perfect picture? And Luke says, no. He didn't know what he was saying when he said that.
In fact, what Peter was actually saying, in effect, was that these three are equal. The law, the prophets, and Jesus. And that really is wrong. Because Jesus is greater than the law and the prophets, and actually it's the fulfillment of the law and the prophets.
Well, I think it's very important to highlight the fact that the law and the prophets show up to encourage Jesus.
Right.
You know, a lot of people have thrown away the law and the prophets, and I think that is wrong because the law and the prophets tell us so much about who Jesus is and, in this case, what he would do. And so the law and the prophets are in harmony with Jesus, but they're not equal.
Not equal to him.
To Jesus.
And verse 34, while he was saying this, a cloud formed and began to overshadow them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. Then a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him."
Yeah, this is like the voice actually interrupts Peter. And Peter's saying, "Okay, let's make three shrines, three tabernacles." And the voice says, no. "This is my son, my chosen one. You are to listen to him." And in doing that, actually, God quotes one of Moses' own words. I mean, back in Deuteronomy, see, I'm learning to say that book.
I am so proud of you. You're saying that very well.
In chapter 18, verse 15, Moses actually had made a prophecy, and he said that there would be somebody coming like him, that when he arrived, they were to listen to him. And God is actually quoting Deuteronomy 18:15 and saying, "You shall listen to him."
Yeah. You know, listen to my son. So here we've got even the voice confirming the fact that this is the one you're supposed to listen to. Listen to Jesus because he is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets, and he is the center of this universe.
And he's the one that actually is completing this exodus of which Moses was only a symbol of. And, you know, Moses and Elijah are talking to Jesus about the exodus that he's about to accomplish in Jerusalem. But, you know, this exodus language is not only used by Luke. It's used all the way to the very end of the Bible.
The revelation is God's last word to planet Earth, and that's where the exodus is completed. That's when we will end up in heaven. And when we get to heaven, we will sing a new song. This song is referred to as the Song of Moses and the Lamb.
Yeah, and this is the song that in chapter 15 of the book of Revelation grabs all this exodus language, this freedom language. And again, we see the children of God. Again, we see them by a sea. And again, they're singing. And this time, the song is not just called the Song of Moses, but the Song of Moses and the Lamb. In verse 3 of chapter 15.
And they sang the song of Moses, the bondservant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are your works, O Lord God the Almighty. Righteous and true are your ways, King of the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy, for all the nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed.
Today we invite you to come along with us in this journey of freedom. Jesus Christ has accomplished the exodus at Jerusalem. He has paid the ransom for those that were enslaved to sin. And we are all on this journey to the promised land. And what a wonderful song, the song of Moses. Mm-hmm. It's a song of freedom, actually.
That's right. Just as the children of Israel sang the song of Moses when they crossed the Red Sea, because they recognized that this was a passage from slavery to freedom, so too are we to sing the song of Moses and the Lamb, because one day soon we will make this journey from this earth to heaven, and we will be there with Jesus forever to enjoy His glories, and we will sing that song together because of our freedom from slavery.
The same way that the Passover lamb died in order to pay the ransom for the children of Israel to be set free, Jesus Christ has died for you, and He paid your ransom, and you are free. You can be on your way to the promised land.
If you are in Christ, you are free indeed.
Thank you for joining us today on Jesus 101. For more insights and resources, connect with us at Jesus101.tv. That's Jesus101.tv. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Jesus101Institute and follow us on Twitter at Jesus101Media. Until next time, live free.